Silas Erungu grew up in Kenya's second largest slum. It was a place where drugs and violence were very common. He was enrolled, though, in the Compassion Program and is here in Perth for the Release to Dream Tour, sharing his inspiring story of how he was released from poverty. Sorry, it is my pleasure to have Silas in the studio with me. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and it's such a pleasure to be here.
And officially welcome to Perth, but also Australia. This is your first time in Australia.
Very first time in Australia, long trip down here, but such a pleasure to be in such a beautiful city.
And we've turned on the weather for you. Is this okay?
Oh, this is just like home.
Now, look, as I shared, you have an amazing story. And it's hard for us, I guess, to even comprehend your upbringing a little bit because it's so far removed from what we can ever think or even imagine. So tell us a little bit about the situation and the circumstances, you know, your childhood, how you grew up.
I was born and brought up in Mathare slums. It's one of the largest slums in the country, probably the second largest in Kenya after Kibera, which is very popular. Is it infamous? Maybe I should say that. Mm. And I was born in a family of three, my parents and I, and my brother, my sister, and myself, of course. And we were brought up in this slum. It was very difficult growing up as a child because of all the influences that we were exposed to. Mm. Just having a place to sleep was a problem for our family. Having basic sanitation or even just knowing whether we would sleep and wake up tomorrow morning safely was just difficult for us to comprehend.
Now, I just want to put this into some sort of context. When you say it was the second largest slum, approximately how many people are
just in where we lived, which is now part of the Mathare Valley, is just at least 150,000 people. It's quite an expansive slum. Mm. It's just because there's so many slums in Kenya, you can imagine half of the population in Nairobi of about 3 million people live in slums, and Mathare is just one of them.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me about, is it a house or a shack that you grew up in? What sort of living conditions do you have?
Just to try and explain how our house looked like, you can imagine just fitting one bed, a mattress on the floor, a cupboard, small-sized cupboard, two seats, and there is no space for you to open the door.
Wow.
So that's like a 10 by 10 feet metals.
And this is your family of, so there was the three siblings and mum and dad, yes?
Yes.
So five of you in this place?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So then tell me about, say, a typical day for you in this environment.
Before I went to school, the typical day would be wake up, hang around home, join up with my friends, go fishing, quote unquote, in the river next to our house. Which is pretty filthy because it was just full of raw sewage. And as young kids, we didn't know how dangerous it was for us to be, you know, walking in the water and sort of looking for scrap metal and stuff in that kind of environment. So that would be a typical day, hang out with friends, maybe go play hide and seek or whatever. Mm. And in the process, of course, we would get into bad company and some of us really ended up badly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about mum and dad. What did they do?
At the time, my mum was unemployed and neither was my dad. My dad stayed for about 15 years without ever getting a job. So what he would do is that he would hope to get like some sort of construction one day, construction work. My mum stayed home taking care of us. Later, my dad found a job as an office messenger in one of the offices in town. Mm. And all he would do is, of course, you know, maybe wash cars or being sent to run errands here and there, while my mom was all the time at home taking care of us.
Okay. Tell me about the feeling for you as a child growing up in that environment. How did that make you feel?
It was very constraining, let me just say that, in the sense that it felt like there was no hope out of what he had already experienced because I hadn't known so many people who had gotten out of Mathare in any sort of way. Most of them didn't go to school, and if they did, they dropped out of school. And then they joined the local gangs. Some of them were shot dead in the process as teenagers. Some of them got into drugs. So it was sort of a hopeless situation because I knew, well, probably this is what I'm going to end up being. Yeah, I would say it was sort of a glass ceiling for me, really.
Right. And you said it was a dangerous environment, you know, gangs and things like that, and you didn't know if you were going to wake up, you know, the following morning from having gone to sleep. Something happened to your brother. Are you okay to talk about that?
Sure. Just even apart from my brother, I mean, I had so many of my friends who, while we were still teenagers, they died at a very early age, 12, 13, 14, 15, thereabout. Some of them went to juvenile jails. I don't know what you call them here. Hmm. But my brother and I, while we were younger, you know, started out on drugs. For me, which probably I'll get to explain a bit later, for him, it was really bad because he ended up getting into drugs the whole way and into crime and stuff like that. And just in his teenage years, he was shot and killed. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Mm. How, obviously, that is terrible for you and your family. Did that, though, give you a sense of, I need to get out of here, or, you know, I'd love to get out of here, but I just don't know how? How did that make you feel? That
I always wanted to get out of Mathare.
Right.
And get my parents out of Mathare. Okay. And get an entire family out of Mathare.
Yeah.
It is not the sort of place you want your children to grow up, your parents to live in, your friends. It's not the sort of place you would wish anybody to live.
Sure. Silas, we've talked about your upbringing. We've described some of the conditions that you grew up in. How old were you when you were enrolled in the Compassion Project?
I was around 9 years of age. That's when I was enrolled at the Compassion Center in Mathare slums. And Compassion works with the local church, so it was a Kenya Assemblies of God Church in Mathare.
Mm. And when you, I mean, was there things that, I guess, meant that you were enrolled in that? How did they pick you, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's a good question because the level of need in Mathare is immense. Mm. Every part you look, left, right and center, you would pick any home that would be very, very needy. And from that, the local church would be able to identify out of these needy homes which ones would probably be the neediest.
Okay.
And that is how then I was enrolled in Compassion.
Okay.
Yes.
And when you got told that you were enrolled in the Compassion Project, so you said you were 9, was that right?
Yes.
Do you remember what that felt like at 9? Was that like, you know, like Willy Wonka when you get the gold ticket? Was that like one of those things?
Let me just explain to you what happened when the staff came to my house, because my parents weren't there. I was the one who was at home. And they just came, and of course, they came to our house. I didn't know who they were, and they talked to us, "Where are your parents?" And I said, "Well, I think they just left, and they, of course, they're going to look for work." And they wrote a number on the back of my hand. I didn't know what it was, but it's KE320. That's a project number. 0045 was my number. Mm-hmm. And they told me to show up at the church. And I didn't actually know what it was at the time, but when my mom came and she explained to me, after we had gone to the church and I was told I had a sponsor, that I could go to school, that every week I could actually go to a Compassion Center and learn stuff. You know, I could learn about music and acting and playing with the other children. It was so much fun for me to know that I was in an environment where, you know, I was able to advance and grow to be whatever I wanted to be.
And how did your family feel about that?
My parents were excited. My mom tells me of this story because at 9, everything is a little bit hazy at the time. But she keeps telling me of this story about how she used to see children going to school, they're having their backpacks, and she used to cry because her son wasn't going to school.
Right.
And the fact that now I was going to school, it was such a monumental period for my family because their firstborn son actually had access to education.
That's awesome. Now, tell me about, obviously, you were enrolled, and that first day that you were enrolled, tell us a little bit about what happens in the Compassion Project. But I want to start with, first and foremost, where you were at, because physically you weren't in great health, were you?
No, I wasn't in great health at all. I had these bouts of, you know, stomach pains ever since I was a small child. And part of the reason was, my dad keeps telling me also this story, that every time he would look away, I would just grab a mound of earth and just throw it in my mouth.
Oh.
Just because I had iron deficiency and just many other deficiencies. And the problem was, outside of our house, we didn't have very many toilets, and hundreds of people would use this one small toilet. Mm. And sometimes it would overflow and just run outside of our house. And sometimes when it rained, all that water would just get into our house. Mm. So it was quite unsanitary conditions, to say the least. And because of that, you know, I had so many roundworms.
Right.
Yeah. In my stomach. And sometimes it just came out at the most unexpected times. And I have had cases. I know this is maybe gross for your listeners, but if you allow me, let me just describe for you that sometimes I would sleep at night and I would feel like my chest is blocked, it's clogged, like I ate something and it's just stuck on my throat.
Mm.
And I would cough so bad, so hard that my mom would wake up and come and try to soothe me and sort of rub my back. And I just kept coughing and coughing. And she would be asking, what did you eat? What did you drink? And I'd say, Mom, I don't know what it is. And maybe after a period of time, after rubbing my back and that, and, you know, some of the worms would come out of my mouth and nose. And it was, and I would choke in them. And it's probably one of the grossest things you'll ever have to experience. And I still have that vivid memory.
Sure.
That is a sort of environment that I grew in.
We apologize if you're eating breakfast right now, by the way.
I'm sorry. I'm having my coffee. So.
Okay, so let's quickly talk about the Compassion Project and how that then, you know, what did that look like for you on a daily basis, knowing that you're a Compassion child now?
Now, I could go to school Monday to Friday. And then on Saturday, we'd have the Compassion Project activities from morning, 8 o'clock, to evening, 4, 5 o'clock, depending what time the programs would end. The idea was, you'd go to the Compassion Project, the first thing that would happen is that we would be taught about God. We would learn scripture. There would be words of hope that we would, you know, they would encourage us. We would sing and dance. We would have like drama activities, and we would, from there on, we would go to class and we'd learn some sort of curriculum. We had a curriculum that we'd follow, and then there could be all sorts of activities. Kids were divided into different groups according to their interests and their talents.
Okay.
So I was good in music and drama and debates and that sorts of stuff, and I really used to love to do that. There were kids who would do knitting and sewing and metalwork. All sorts of things.
So look, we're running out of time, but just quickly, you went to university, yes?
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that.
Wow. Went all the way to school, high school, university, and that was also another monumental period of my life because I was the first one in my home to go to a university.
Yeah.
So you can remember, I remember my mom just dragging my suitcase to the bus stop and just waving goodbye and saying, oh, all the best to you. And I was able to graduate, did a degree in mathematics. And when I graduated, I remember also my mom just seated across of me when I was making the speech for my school year, for my year. And she just looking at me and came with these tinsel garlands and put them around my neck. And they were itchy, very itchy. I didn't want to have them around. But she said, you have to wear them because it reminds me of a time when I used to cry, when I used to see kids going to school in their backpacks.
Wow.
And now you're here wearing your gown and the sash around your shoulder and the cap on your head.
Yeah.
And now you're graduated.
Awesome. And I believe also now your sister is going to university or about to go to university. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So this has had a knock-on effect not only on you but your whole family.
Absolutely. Now that I'm able to work... of course, when my younger sister, you know, when I was graduating, she was like, oh, I'd like to go to school like you. And I was like, oh, well, we'll see. Mm. But now because God has enabled me, I'm able to educate my sister through college, through university, a better university than the one I went to. Mm. And she'll be graduating in 2 months' time.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, look, if you'd like to hear more of Silas's story, he's going to be speaking over the next couple of days. Tomorrow night at Red Door Community Church at Coburn Central between 7 and 9. And also on Wednesday night, 7 and 9, Lake Joondalup Baptist College in Joondalup. You can find some more details at compassion.com.au/releasedtodream. And you can go and see Silas while he's here in Perth for the next few days. But Silas, we will have to leave it there this morning. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us this morning and sharing a bit about your story. And I really hope people get along and see you over the next few days while you're here in Perth.
Thank you, Tim, and it's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for welcoming me.
It's been great chatting with you. It's 26 minutes away from 10 on 98.5.